At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, the music sounds better. At least it does during the live stream. If you're an audio listener, it doesn't really matter.
I need to get better at intros.
Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. That's right. Apathetic Enthusiasm, where we don't record for a while, then when we come back, we forget how everything works.
I know how it works. I think when we have more loose topics going into it,
mm-hmm.
I don't always know where the conversation's going to go.
Sure.
You know, I could be like, in this episode, we're going to talk about the Twitter killer threads. That's right. It's the social media platform that's sweeping the world, except for in Europe, because of some potential problems with laws and how websites handle your data privacy. It may take a few more months for it to get into the EU, but otherwise, it's sweeping the world. That's right. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. My name is Travis.
That was really great. And that was our show. Make sure you go and follow us at Apathusiast over on Twitter, if it's still around. You can follow us on Threads.
We don't need Twitter anymore. Get rid of Twitter.
We got Threads. We got Threads and Instagram. You can apathetic underscore enthusiasm on Instagram. He's at Jugglemino. I'm at Barnyard Cruise on all of those things. And of course, you can go to our website, Apathetic Enthusiasm Show, or apatheticenthusiasm.com, where we don't basically post these episodes, but you can also get that on Red Circle, whatever
Red iPhones.
Our red podcast host. You can go check that out. That's basically it. We don't, for Halloween, maybe I'll do a horror movie blog. I think I do that. You could
that happens once a year.
You can go to, if you want to support this show, or you want to support our show that actually matters to most people, Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast, you can do that by going over to patreon.com/something.
Apathetic enthusiasm.
Yeah, where we don't do a whole lot. We post some videos after the fact. I have been sticking with my It's on Random playlist storytelling with me, Brandon. I recently swapped up the format of that show, Travis, because originally what I was doing was just playing the song, and then I was like talking over the song, and I would like come in and then come out, and then like, oh, the song's going on. I'm like, talk to a point in the song and that dip out. But the more songs I did, the more I realized like, but I want people to hear the fucking song. So like, I don't want to talk over it. You know, I know the playlist exists and people can listen to the playlist, but I don't want to talk over it. So instead, what I started doing for a couple of episodes now is I have the story that I want to tell at the front end. Maybe I'll tell a little bit at the back end. But then I let the song play as it does. So anyways, It's on Random, right, which is a quote from Shaun of the Dead. It's on random. And so I do that. I do some original music here and there with the old Git fiddle. So I try to do that. But anyways.
You're so talented, Brandon. And you can see all that stuff on our Patreon. Make sure you check it out. We're streaming live right now on Twitch, twitch.tv/hypotheticenthusiasm. You can be part of the show, like Five Long Years is doing.
Woo!
You know, internet permitting. But yeah, definitely check us out on Twitch. If you can't make it on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, then you can check out videos over at YouTube, youtube.com/hypotheticenthusiasm. We're going to be posting some shorts. Posting some short format content over there as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll talk all about that a little bit later in this show when we talk about our Comic-Con preparations.
Woo!
But there's an important topic that we have to get to right here at the top of the show. Normally I would save spoiler type content for later in the show. But no, this cannot wait.
Why would we wait?
This needs to be addressed immediately. And that is, of course, a follow-up on a conversation that we had over the last few episodes about a terrific television show that recently concluded its first season on Apple TV+. That show, of course, is Silo, the sci-fi mystery thriller full of interest and intrigue and character development. And Brandon and I had a little bit of a disagreement,
a
differing of opinions, alternative perspectives,
alt theories of what was going on in part of the show, not the entire show, but part of the show.
Sure.
And so we want to, if anybody who wants to watch Silo, you don't want to get spoiled by what's coming up next. Go ahead and skip maybe like 2 or 3 minutes because this won't be too long because...
No, we'll get through this real quick.
We'll get through this real quick because Travis doesn't want me to...
We don't
want
to belabor the topic too far.
Travis doesn't want me to gloat is what essentially it boils down to. Okay, so this is it. This is your spoiler warning. We're talking about Silo spoilers. It's the Apple TV show. Okay, starting now. Here's what the conversation was a couple weeks back. On Silo, if you don't recall what we're talking about with Silo, if say people they're living in silos, they're kind of like Fallout things. And then if people say they want to go out, they are forced out into this barren wasteland, which is supposedly poisonous and is kills people and stuff like that. But people go out and then they clean a little monitor, like a camera.
Like a camera.
Yeah. And so even people who like find out secrets about the silo, they go out and they still clean the camera, even though they say that they're not going to. Part of that is they go out and then they see, like, they go out of the silo and it's like, no, it's beautiful. There's birds flying, the trees, it's lush and everything like that. Well, in the second episode, the sheriff, the first episode, his wife goes out there and dies. The second episode, the sheriff goes out there and then he dies. But as he's dying, he's like taking off his helmet. He's like trying to take his helmet off. He's trying to see his wife. And he takes his helmet off, but we don't see what he sees. That was the moment that I was like, you know what? I think the display is a fake, but the helmet displays are the fakes, is what I thought. Okay. That's where our,
yep. I had an alternate theory. I thought that it was in fact safe to go outside and that the vision through what they saw in the helmet was reality, but that the displays that they were shown inside the silo were the fakes and they're faking out those displays. And then because they wear these like spacesuit looking things when they go out, I was under the assumption that there was some sort of poison in the suit that caused people to die, not the actual elements outside.
And
so,
and I thought that too. The very first episode when Rashida Jones goes out there and dies, I was like, oh, like maybe they're pumping poisonous gas into the suit. I thought that's what the twist ended up being.
We're still talking spoilers. Skip ahead another 5 minutes.
keep going. And so it wasn't until, like, I'm always skeptical in movies or shows when they don't show something that they've been showing.
Yeah.
So like he's like, it's beautiful out. Beautiful out here. Beautiful out. Why didn't they show what he saw? I'm like, And so we had this conversation, Travis. We had it on the podcast, and I was like, you know what? I can't fucking help it. I need to know the answer now. I need to know the answer now. I need to know if I was right now. And I told you I was going to do it. So don't act to me. Look at me all surprised.
This doesn't shock me in your behavior, or this is par for the course.
Don't look at me surprised. You knew I was going to do it. Sure enough, like, dude, that night I was like, is the Antonio Banderas gif, right? Or is we're just breathing. I'm like, I can't wait.
Well, and the big indicator episodes. Was you don't ask me if I'm caught up on Silo for 10 episodes. You're not like, oh, I wonder if Travis watched the episode yet. It's always me like, hey, did you watch the new one yet? And you're like, oh, I'll get to it. Or yeah, oh, I haven't watched it yet. Or I'm watching it right now. It's like 4 p.m. on Friday, the day it comes out. You're like, hey, you watch that Silo yet? You watch it yet? No, not yet. I'll get to it. Oh, we may not watch it tonight. Maybe I'll watch it tomorrow. And sure enough, Brandon was right. It was a false display inside the helmet. But that led to an even bigger reveal, which I don't know if you spoiled for yourself or not by reading the interwebs. But yeah, that reveal being that this is not the Silo, but it is one of many silos.
It is but a string of silos.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this does open up opportunities for additional seasons and, mm-hmm. and other places that the show can go, which I'm very excited about because all in all, despite being wrong about the final outcome, I did think it was a good show. And I do think there's a lot of potential for it moving forward. So I'm excited to see where they go with it in following seasons.
The spoilers I read went beyond the season. So I won't talk about them. But I was like, oh, okay. All right. I can see that.
Was it based on the books? Because I know that the show's based on.
Yeah. Yeah. It was based on the books. So like some of the interactions that like Tim Robbins had, right? I was like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And I think our first indicator that there was multiple silos within the show was the 18 on the key, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Which means there's at least 18 silos. But anyway, so I asked you that on Friday, while I'm at the airport. And then fast forward 24 hours later, and I'm at the airport again, actually on the plane this time, and with internet. And then you say, yeah, okay, Brandon, you're right, or whatever it was he said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yes, if you caught that right, I was at the airport one night, and then I was at the airport again the next night, because here's what happened. For anybody who's wondering, we'll get into the actual episode.
Now entering a spoiler-free zone.
I went up to DC, went to go see my friend Gene retire, went to see my friend Ashley retire, and it was cool, right? Okay, whirlwind trip. We're going to come back. I'm going to come back into LAX the night after I fly in, and then the next morning I'm going to go to New Mexico. Ooh, it's going to be exhausting, but I'm going to do it. Well, I get to the airport at like my flight leaves at 7, and I get there. It's 5 o'clock. I go to the bar as you do at the airport, and I sit down and I'm like, I'll order a salad. I'm in between a couple like old white dudes, and they're the fucking most talkative people sometimes. I'm like, come on, don't include me in this. And they're like, oh, hold on a sec. I gotta talk to my secretary. And then they like start bullshitting with us. I'm like, God, leave me out. I just want to eat my Caesar salad and drink my beer. Right. Anyways. So they're like, man, you delayed longer. I'm like, yeah. What's going on here? And I'm like, those suckers, those poor dumb suckers. You're going to get stuck here at the airport. You losers. Not me. Not tonight. And, so then I look at the boarding. It's supposed to board at like 6:30. I'm like, okay, cool. It's still leaving. It's at 7 o'clock. boarding then is like at 7. Like, okay, all right, that's not too bad. Oh, now it's 7:30. Now it's 8:30. And I was like, oh shit. Oh no, here we go. If the flight leaves at 9, if the latest it leaves is at 9, then I might still be able to get my layover on my connecting flight in Nashville and then get home. Boarding starts at 9:30. Fuck. And a little bit early on, I looked at like the American Airlines like customer service kiosk, and it was short enough that I could have been like, I should get in line right now and see if I can reschedule or whatever. Once I realized it got a little too late, I looked back at the line, and the line was, it was like waiting for Peter Pan at Disney. It was far too long for far little impact. Not talking smack about Peter Pan, but I mean, come on. I mean, it's a hanging ride or something like that.
It is a classic opening day attraction at Walt Disney World, and you will not slander it on this or any of our other podcasts. Thank you very much.
It is an institution. Anyway, so we get on the plane, Travis. Here, everyone's interested in the story. This is like the best content you're ever going to get on Apathetic Enthusiasm for years to come.
Remember, you chose to download this or stream it live.
Here we go. Thank you
for being here.
Thank you so much. Now, we finally board the plane, and I'm like, I had to cancel my New Mexico trip. Had to cancel the rental car, and because it was under 24 hours, that means I still owed Avis $150. I'm like, okay, shit, great.
What a racket! What a racket. Avis, not a sponsor.
We board on the plane, and I'm like, it doesn't matter if I'm here stuck here or in Nashville. I'm gonna get stuck somewhere, right? Like, at least I'll get stuck closer to home if I'm in Nashville. I don't know. That was my thought. So I get on the plane, and then it's like 9:30, 10. And then maybe about like 30 minutes pass. Like, hey, everybody. The previous flight crew, it looks like the logs got lost out of the system. So we've got a little bit of paperwork to do. So it's a couple more minutes before we can lift off. Like, okay. All right. That's fine. 30 minutes later. Looks like there's weather in Nashville now that's keeping us from moving. So we'll have to let you know what's going on. So just sit tight. We'll get you out of here as soon as we can. 30 minutes later. bad news. There is weather in Nashville. But also there's a construction happening on the runway that we're supposed to take off on. And the only runway left is a short runway, which is too short for this plane. We'll let you know what happens. 30 minutes later. Here's the status now. Good news.
The autopilot has deflated.
Nashville's cleared up. The weather has changed. But construction starts in 10 minutes. And so we need 20 people to volunteer to get off. Otherwise, we can't leave because of the wait. Because they can take off if there's 20 people and their luggage off of the plane.
On the short runway.
So the flight attendants, God bless them.
and the way we'll decide those 20 people is with a little game we like to call Airport Hunger Games.
it was crazy though, dude, because I volunteered right away. I'm like, again, get stuck in Nashville, get stuck in DC. It doesn't matter. I have friends in DC, so I can like stay somewhere, right? Or sure. I can get a hotel voucher or whatever. So I'm like, I'll do it, you know. We only got to 12 people.
Oh, always the self-sacrificing person, Brandon. falls on that sword for the other passengers.
It's a personal fault of mine, Travis, and I don't like it. But okay, so like 12 people, only 12 people. And so there's people in the back and they're like, hey, I got 100. I get 100 if somebody gets off the plane. And someone's like, I got 100 too. Yeah, let's put together a pool. And so they're trying to gather money. And they're like, I don't have money, but I'll Zelle, you know? And I'm like, I'll get the fuck off. I don't care about the money. Just because right in front of me, there was a little boy, maybe like 5, 6. And it was his first time flying.
I'm taking him with me.
Snap. His first time flying, he was going to Nashville for a monster truck jam. It was like his vacation. And they had
Struggle
to be
a lifetime.
They had to be there at 11 in the morning. And I just felt so bad for this kid. And he was like, he was so good. He was so good and so calm. And it makes me want to cry. And like, because I'm like, oh, poor baby boy. Anyway, so I'm like, get me off the plane. I'll take the spot of three people. If I was fat enough, I would take the spot of three people. I wish I could. I can't. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's late. I'm stuck on a fucking plane. What do you want me to do?
We're stressed out. Your jokes aren't landing.
So anyways, didn't get the volunteers. They kicked us all off the plane. And then everyone's pissed off. And as we're waiting for our checked on luggage, they're like, wait, there's 20 people off the plane now. Let's get back on. I'm like, no, fuck you. You had your chance.
And that, let that be a lesson. Like, in group behavior and the fact that 20 people needed to make the choice so that other people could do the flight. And I'm assuming there would be some sort of, I don't know, fix action or something for you. Obviously you'd be delayed but the fact that 20 people of what is probably 100 people on the flight or something, I don't know, decided their trip was too important. Then they all lost that flight.
Yep.
That's insane.
Exactly right. So then by the time I got to customer service, they got me booked on a new flight the next day at the same time. I called my friend Gene, who just retired from the Air Force, and I was like, are you awake still? I'm free to hang out. And it's like 1 a.m, 1:30. He's like, yeah, come over. Here's my address. Come on over. And he stayed up. He waited for me. He kept the door open. Yeah, it's super cool. He's a wonderful guy. So the next morning I wake up, I go to my app and I'm like, okay, go ahead and check into the flight. And I press the check-in button, boop, and my flight disappears. It disappears from the app. It goes away. It's no longer in my app. I'm like, fucking hell. I call up American. I'm on hold with them for a while. And here's the thing. The airport didn't officially cancel the flight in the system. So in the system, it looked like everyone boarded. It looked like everyone flew to Nashville. So
looks like we have a little bit more paperwork to catch up on.
They're like, you're not in Nashville right now? I'm like, no, I'm not in Nashville. I'm in D.C. They canceled the flight. Like, no, according to the system, this is... I'm like, well, I'm here.
According to me being in D.C. right now.
I'll selfie me in front of the Washington Monument if that's what really does it for you. And so he kept me on hold for a while, eventually worked it out, and it got me a direct flight straight to LAX, and that left at 5 instead. And so I got home, and I'm like, okay, great. Chelsea's like, do you want to go to New Mexico still? I'm like, I can't. I want to. I should, but I just can't. There's too much travel, too much stress. And then, yeah, that was my airport adventure time.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about your airport adventure. Here's the thing about my weekend in Omaha visiting family who were there also traveling. And I was sitting at the table enjoying a delicious bowl of spicy ramen when... I got pictures of that ramen too. We could show it on the stream.
Please do.
It was delicious. I was sitting at the table when their flight that they were supposed to board in like 3 hours got canceled and they had to rebook the next day. And all that's going through my head is that like 10 days from now, I have to orchestrate like the most flawless, no fail airport transportation equation in order for us to get to Comic-Con, right? Because not only am I flying out to San Diego,
yeah,
but some of my kids are also going on a trip like at the same time with their cousins to visit their grandparents. So it's like I have to travel 3 hours to Dallas to be at an airport to receive my nieces and nephew, and then put all of them with my kid onto another airplane to fly them to New Mexico so that my mom can receive them and then drive 3 hours back. So that requires no fail on those flights. Somebody misses a flight. Somebody gets delayed. That delays me getting back home so I can get up the next morning and get on my own flight
to the most important event of your life. The most
hands down. Kids? More important than the birth of any of those children?
No, kids. No. Not you. Sheena.
More important than the day I married my wife that I'm leaving in the Midwest so I can travel back to our hometown?
Nuh-uh.
And visit the biggest nerd convention in existence?
Uh-huh.
I'm real hopeful all of that works out well because, as we're alluding to, we are going to Comic-Con 2023 San Diego Comic Con, the con of all cons, despite writer strikes and all the other things that may hamper. He's flashing the creds. I got mine right behind. So we're going. We're doing our prep. We're getting excited. We're prepping for Comic Con. He's got the press stuff on there. And it's really exciting because we're going as press. We are getting a little bit of pre-coordination with different outlets, different companies, different productions that are going to be there. Obviously, because we do the Rick and Morty podcast, we're engaged with Adult Swim and trying to coordinate some things with them so that we have some opportunities. So if you are a purely apathetic enthusiasm listener, you don't dabble into that interdimensional RSS nonsense that we do over there. This will be the last episode before Comic-Con content starts hitting your feed. But there are some things that you can expect from us on this channel, right? If we're going to do some AE podcasts, some daily wrap-up type stuff. But we would really encourage you, if you're not already following us on our socials or if you're not on like a YouTube subscriber, definitely go check that stuff out because we're going to be putting a lot of content out on those different platforms and I'd love for you to see it. But I don't know, how are you feeling about the prep? How are you feeling about this momentum moving forward?
How do I feel about that stuff? It's kind of surreal, right?
Existential dread.
I mean... You know, I'm talking about my trip and all the stress that come out with it. Like, it's like coming off on the heels of like a stress. And so like there was a part of me that was like wasn't like went straight back into work. I wasn't like ready for the thought of like, oh shit, this thing is coming by pretty quickly, right?
And so
I haven't had proper time, I think, to put myself in the headspace of like. You know how I am, right? I'm impulsive planner, or like I'm good with planning at the last, like towards the end, where it's like, okay, I feel it, it's real, I can do
like
this.
We'll be riding downtown to go to the first event. You'll be like, what if we started thinking about video?
I mean, yeah, it's exactly right like that. So the headspace of like, okay, it is coming. I think now, like, I'm at a place where, okay, I can start thinking about it. There's a schedule app. I looked at all the programming. We have a Miro kind of a board that's tracking some of the events that we're trying to go to. And so it's really just being like nose to the grindstone. Okay, this is happening in a week and a half.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and figure it out. And we've done some prep. I'm not going to say I haven't done any prep, but.
Well, and I think. You know, leading up to this, we knew we wanted to any time that we're co-located, because obviously, like, we do this show from different places. Anytime we get together in person, we always want to produce something or make some sort of content because we love doing this, right? And doing Comic-Con, this is a great opportunity for us to produce the same type of things that we make already, but also you know, break news on things or talk to creative people that are responsible for making some of the stuff that we love and we love talking about on our podcast. So got some new microphones, got some cool like lav mics that are going to allow us to get some of those interviews, get some of that video content, really just walk around the show floor. And we could honestly walk around and record podcasts like as we walked if we wanted to. So there's a lot of opportunity there for us to make things. Because we have the press passes, again, it's allowing us to get access to some events and things that are going to allow us to talk more deliberately with some creative folks, which is really exciting as well.
Yeah. And so I think that's there's the root of it, right? It is exciting. This is something that we started this podcast in 2015, just hanging out. We went to amazing Hawaii Comic Con. We're going to see Jimmy J and his brother down there in San Diego. Did a Hawaii Comic Con. We did some stuff like that. I had done panels at Tampa, and like we've come a long way, and we always talked about like I think one of our original Patreon things that we've talked about on the show before too, like was like get us to San Diego Comic Con, right? And so there's something a little surreal about it to me that like, oh shit, we actually got press passes.
Oh, it happened.
Oh, it happened. Like when we got WonderCon press passes, like, oh, okay, well, shit, that's strange. All right, cool. I'll take it. Probably won't get San Diego. And then we did. And so maybe it just hasn't really fully clicked that, not saying we're famous, but that we have we have enough clout to be like, let these fucking dumbass podcasters in.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm taking the approach that like I really want to deliberately pursue certain content while we're there, because I want to live up to, like, I want to feel like we earned the press passes. Like, I don't want to be like, hey, haha, wool over your eyes, Comic-Con, we got the press passes and now we're just going to go nerd out and be fans and not you know, break any stories or share anything with our audience. And especially with the interdimensional RSS audience, that is a fan base that loves Rick and Morty, loves adult animation, loves a lot of the things that are central to Comic-Con and that fandom.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if we are, you know, have the benefit of being there in person, I want to share as much of that as possible with our listeners and our fans that are excited about the same thing. So, with that said, because it is exciting, but it can be stressful, we're gonna have fun too. Like we're definitely on that Miro planning board. I definitely want to carve out time for us to just enjoy the event, enjoy the con.
Well, I think
not have to stay super late every night. grab a beverage, put our feet up. You know,
I think that so there's pressure on having a press pass, not just like internally to us, but like we want to be able to have something to show for it. That certainly, sure. But I think like because we here's what happens when you have a press pass. Just inside baseball, inside press pass baseball. For like these events, same thing with WonderCon. Like once you are on that list for press, then you get various emails from the companies that are there, they're having panels, whatever, and they're like, "Hey, do you?"
It's the PR for and sometimes it's like if it's a big company, it's they have PR representatives, and sometimes if it's like a smaller independent artist, sometimes it's the artists themselves just pushing that information out to say, "Hey, I have new stuff coming out. Would love it if you took a look at it."
Yeah.
So it's priming the pump, so to speak, to kind of direct our interest towards covering certain things at the event.
Exactly. And so you get that and then you respond back and you say, yeah, I'm interested in this panel or this event. Me and my partner, my podcast partner, Travis or Brandon, whatever, whoever writes the email, like we're interested into it. And then they reach back out to us and they say, all right, you're good to go. Or like, do you want to do video and you know, stuff like that? So like that part's exciting. Well, I think what is cool to me is when you go to Comic-Con or you go to any event, really, you have like these big kind of experiences that are happening. So we know that Adult Swim on the Green is happening at San Diego Comic-Con. Well, if we were nobodies, if we were nobodies like you out there, it would be stressful to me. It's more stressful to me to be like, okay, we got to get onto the Green. But because we're also trying to get onto the Green, that means we might miss this panel or we might miss this interview opportunity. And those opportunities are also when you don't have press passes is like also much slimmer. So you have to be like, well, we have to stalk them a little bit to try to find them. You know, it's like, it's that weird stuff that gets me. But if we can get into like previews for some of these events, that like eliminates that aspect where I'm like, I know now that we're going to get into it. We don't have to carve time out. We're going to be there. So that, I'm excited about some of that.
It's night and day difference, like from the first Adult Swim Festival where we paid out of pocket, we bought passes, we traveled and went and attended as fans, obviously as podcasters as well. And we had talked with Ryan Elder, who is the composer on Rick and Morty and was doing a big event that night. Like, he knew we were going to be there. We told, like, and we met him. We got to shake his hand and, you know, take a picture and stuff.
Yeah.
But that was an event where we still felt like, all right, like, we're on the fringe of this. We're going to cover it. We're going to cover it as podcasters. But we had no additional access or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's really different about this. Now, this is sort of like the fourth Adult Swim Festival because COVID's kind of, you know, delayed some things and stuff, right? But this is an Adult Swim Festival on the Green.
Yeah.
And so to come back to another Adult Swim Festival and
be invited in like, some senses.
And like have people be like, oh yeah, we got your passes like set up for you. I don't want this to sound like a humble brag or like boastful in any way, but it really is just like because of our listeners and the support of this community, you've all really made this possible too. And so we want to do justice by it. We want to bring you as good of content as we can produce.
Yeah.
So if there are things, if you're following any news about San Diego Comic-Con and there's something that you want more info about or you want to see, we would love to be the eyes and ears for that and bring that content to you. Hit us up on all of our social channels, our emails, things like that. Let us know. Or hit us up on Threads. Right, because Threads has exploded.
I do want to talk about Threads. I have two things to say before we talk about Threads because I do want to talk about Threads.
Okay, we'll get to Threads.
And I don't put a pin in that thread. There it is. Two things I want to say about last two things I want to say about Comic-Con. The Adult Swim on the Green. So a couple years back, there was the Adult Swim on the Green, and we knew there was going to be a Rick and Morty premiere, right?
Yeah.
It was that year that there was that host guy who was like, okay.
Because they were live stream. They're going to live stream the whole event
and
on Adult Swim.
And
right?
they trolled us the entire time. Just think, we'll actually be able to be there this round.
Yeah, so, we won't have to be out on the Embarcadero having some host throw socks at people as they walk by or whatever he was doing.
So that's the first thing that's cool that we'll act.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Actually be there for some of that stuff. And we're really excited about the Adult Swim things. I think it's gonna be great. I'm stoked about it. So, but the second thing is going back to Adult Swim Fest. The first Adult Swim Fest. We met Ryan Elder in person. Yeah. Super cool. Much taller than I thought he was gonna be.
Tall guy.
But then again, I'm very, very short. But what was interesting about that event, that I wonder if it'll happen in San, I probably won't happen in San Diego. But old Daniel, Scary Terry Folds, he recognized us. There's like a couple people that recognized us. He recognized us. He bought us beers. And it was the very, 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 very first time in my life that I'm like, oh shit, somebody listens to us.
It was a pivotal moment, I think, for sure, for both of us.
So anyways, this idea of notoriety, I guess, is like it's crazy the support that has happened and where we are now. So
great. I'm excited. Hopefully all the flights work out because we are now booked to go do official events.
I asked my
5 hours after I'm supposed to land.
I said to my boss today, like, I'm taking an extra day off Wednesday and Thursday. He's like, for what? And I'm like, oh, Comic-Con. He's like, can I go? I'm like, no, you're seeing T-Swift next week. You can't go.
Oh, it's going to the Eras Tour?
Yeah.
After the Speak Now album, Taylor's version just dropped. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I was talking to this guy. We'll get into Threads in a second.
We'll get to Threads.
Talking to a coworker who bought a ticket to see Taylor Swift, and he paid $2,500 for it. And which is incredible to me because that's a lot of money. And I paid $2,000 for my guitar, and I was like, that was probably too much, right? But I was talking to him, and he was like, I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready to understand Taylor Swift. And like, I think I'm ready to listen to her.
You were saying this or your coworker?
I was saying it to him. Yeah.
Okay.
So I said it to him. And he's like, yeah, you start with this album and then you go on, you know, I mean, you got to start there and then you go on to the next one. And I mean, just stick with chronological. And I'm like, man, he really knows all the Taylor Swift albums.
Yeah.
But, so I'm like, all right. I think I'm past my too cool for school Taylor Swift.
You've never been like super into like pop music from what I've known of you.
That's true. That's true.
And I think that is something that is different between you and me. yeah, because I'll listen to Rising Pop playlists as I'm running too many miles.
I'm trying not to be as obstinate about music.
This is fine. And I I went through a country phase, and then into my teen years, I was like, country's not for me. I don't like country music. And Taylor Swift was a country artist. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, no, not for me. No, thank you. And then she made her pop shift, and that like 1989 album came out. And since then, I've been like, I get it.
You've been a Swifto ever since.
So not enough to drop that much coin. Money. Although it sounds like night one of her Kansas City two-night stay at Arrowhead was pretty empty for like either the first part of the show or something. I think scalpers maybe over-purchased and then were not able to flip tickets. There's been a lot of stories of that with the tour where people have been able to like buy tickets on the cheap for like $100 5 minutes before the show starts people are just trying to offload them. So some people gamble and win where they're able to just get tickets right before. And I don't know, but it doesn't work for everybody. So anyway, yay, Taylor Swift. That's the most we've talked about Taylor Swift on this podcast in all of its like 8 years.
Yeah, I know, Travis. Because usually when you talk about T-Swift, I'm like, done with that. Also, my manager's going on that same tour, but he knows somebody, so they got the friends and family discount.
Is he friends with Ticketmaster?
No, somebody.
That's a friend I would love to have.
Somebody who's on the tour with her. What is?
Are you aware of
that's
how
sotto voce,
Taylor Swift?
By the way, that's what that.
Are you aware of how Taylor Swift gets to the stage at these tours?
Does she fly in by helicopter?
And then we'll press on.
No, no, I don't. Let me know.
We can just shake it off. Anyway, we're gonna. so there are these huge arena tours, right? And when an arena tour, often the stage is set up, you know, somewhere like on like a field or something. So the backstage area is not actually behind anything. They build these structures, and then you have to get to the backstage from, you know, the tunnels or things like that, right? So as to not be seen in advance of the start of the show, Taylor Swift and her team devised a method to get her to the stage without being seen. And this was identified early on by some very observant fans.
Eagle-eyed fans
that a crew would push a large cart, a black cart with mops and brooms sticking out of the top to the stage. Like they were a crew pushing a bunch of cleaning stuff to the backstage. And there was all the speculation. I think Taylor's in there. I think Taylor hides in that cart and then gets out before the show starts. And then there's video evidence from a specific angle at one of the shows where they push that cart back there and then like they open it up and she steps out of it. So she rides in a cart with fake brooms and mops sticking out of the top to covertly get to the stage before the show starts. She thinks of everything. She's a mastermind.
I want to know, there has to be like AC in that thing. It's got to have like, it's probably has like all red M&Ms. Like a bowl full of them, right? Like it's gotta be amazing. Anyways, all right.
Yeah. Anyway, congrats Taylor on winning
the life. World.
Threads. We can talk about Threads.
Sorry. One last thing. When I was talking to this guy about Taylor Swift, I was talking to him about. He's like, oh yeah, and then you know she's like re-recording some stuff. I'm like. I remember Travis talking about this. Woo!
Did we talk? We talked about this on the podcast.
Right? We talked about it before. And I was like, so I had something to talk about. I was like, I heard about that. That she's just like, she wants all these new listeners. And like, she's also like putting out new stuff at the same time. Like, and so like anyways, the whole point of that was I related to him? You know, us Taylor Swift
now
fans.
Taylor's version available on all streaming platforms.
Thread.
All right. Thread, the Twitter killer. Threads dropped while I was on vacation. And for some reason, I signed up for it immediately. And that's how I found out that you were on like a social media sabbatical. Like, and we're not scrolling. So I feel bad about it. But have you been able to break your fast and check out Threads at all? And do you have any initial opinions of it, of the platform?
Yeah. So I guess a little history there. It's interesting how when Threads came about, Twitter, like the week before, Elon was like,
I think it was only like days. I think it was Friday of last week, and by Wednesday, Threads was out.
Yeah, it felt very strategic on Zuckerberg's part. But so a couple days earlier than that, like Twitter was like, Elon was like, we're limiting the amount of new tweets that you see by 200, like only 200 if you're not paying, 2000 if you're paying or something like that. It was like weird throttling, and it was like, because we want to stop the data scrapers from coming on here and taking data or something like that. It was some bullshit. And side note, I really don't see how people think he's doing such a great job with Twitter, because it's just become a fucking, it's become a cesspool of like blue check marks and blue check marks. Any thread you go to, any new tweet you go through, there's just blue check marks, blue check marks, blue check marks. And they all have a perspective, a very similar perspective, which is everybody else is wrong other than Elon. And it's very, 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 very frustrating to see. There's okay, handfuls of people, but it's like there's no discourse. And so it's getting to a place where I don't really want to be in there or be associated with it. So we talk about our Twitter handles here, but it's like,
yeah.
But it's doom scrolling there. On Instagram, it's kind of doom scrolling. Like it's just like, not doom scrolling, but it's like empty calories of like scrolling. And then like,
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Mindless scrolling.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I got to this point where I'm like, I need to pull myself away from social media. I'm already stressed out about stuff. I'm like, let me take a hiatus, right? Yeah. The fucking day that happens, the day I'm like, I'm gonna better myself. I'm gonna make myself feel better about life. Guess what, everybody? Threads is coming to town.
Hot new social media coming out to play.
And you're like, I wonder if we can get our podcasts on there? And usually I'm the one who's like, oh, I'm on it. Let me go see what I want to put it on buffer. I'm gonna get all the thing, and like I could not be less interested in wanting to do that at that point in time.
Yeah, I know, and I felt so bad because I was like, this is because I still follow tech blogs. I listen to the Vergecast regularly. Like I follow, and honestly, I have lost interest in Twitter almost completely. Like. Yeah. I keep trying to go back to it, and it's just, it doesn't feel like the community doesn't feel like it used to be in the early days, right? Like, I mean, I've been on Twitter over 15 years. Like, it's weird, but the appeal to it wasn't there for me. The other social platforms that I was enjoying more.
The culture feels different there now.
Yes, yes, yeah. Absolutely. And very quickly... And probably it helped that I was on vacation. I had time off. And so I kind of wake up and I'm seeing all this like hype that like, oh, Threads is growing really quickly. A lot of engagement very early on. Is this the Twitter killer? And all of that interests me to like, hey, let me check it out. Let me just see. So I sign up for a personal account and it ports over from Instagram very easily, very quickly. It brings your information over. It automatically allows you to follow a lot of the same accounts that you're following on Instagram. So then you already have a little bit of a starter like community that you're familiar with. And yeah, I scroll a little bit and I'm like, wow, this is a lot like Twitter. We should probably get the podcast on here early because that's benefit, right? And so I reach out to you. I'm like, hey, you on Threads yet? You're like, oh god, no, what, not why today of all days, right? So then I'm like, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try and port our podcast over again. Very easy to get those going. But then knowing that you're like trying to distance yourself from socials, like I was like, oh, I feel obligated now. So I realized I hadn't posted a thread for the AE account until today. Posted a few for interdimensional RSS.
Yeah.
So
son of a bitch.
I was very proud of that one. I was gonna go in a different direction and ended up finding that image. It's like, that's the one.
That's good.
That's the one.
It was good. It was good. I signed up because you told me that it came out. And so the only post I have on there is me saying, I'm on a social media hiatus, threads. Thank you very much.
And this is fine. This is fine.
But I have gone there and looked at it, right? Like I real quick aside on the social media stuff, I think what I need to focus on is just like rationing and moderation and being like I have to spend time with the people that I care about. I can't always be on the phone, right? Yeah. And so wanted to put
use
that away.
iOS to set time limits for your apps.
I put it in focus mode when I get home now, and it turns off all the notifications. So if you can't get a hold of me, it's because I'm turning off notifications. Okay.
Is it doing that for Messenger? I just need to know.
It is, yeah.
Okay. But all right.
So text me.
All right. Track it. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're on my favorites for text.
Appreciate it.
So I have gone on Threads. I've looked at it around. And so it's interesting how Threads is. I know they don't have messaging. You can't see what other people are liking. Those are two big things about Threads. It seems I've seen people talk about like this is like the Wild West, like how Facebook used to be, how Twitter used to be.
Early Twitter, early Facebook.
Like MySpace.
Not everything's established.
Yeah.
Well, and that's part of the thing, right? Is you talked about how Twitter was throttling tweets and limiting how many tweets people could see. And Threads as a platform was in development, but it wasn't ready to launch. And the creative team took a risk seeing what was going on with Twitter and saying, now is a time when we should really get this out there and capitalize on the death spiral that Twitter is experiencing. And people just gravitated towards it. It moved very quickly. I saved a thread as a picture, which is I don't think what they want you to do. And this is from the guy that's basically running the portion of the company, that 1 million people have signed up for Threads in 5 days. Or I'm sorry, 100 million. 100 million people.
I want you to know, so you did this the other day too. You're like,
I did.
Like 25,000 people signed up for it. Oh wait, no, that was
25 million. Sorry. Yeah, so 100 people signed up for Threads is what's important for
wait,
us.
Wait, 50 people.
Sorry.
50
so 100, people. 100 million people signed up in 5 days. He says, I'm not sure. This is Mosseri, Mosseri, has a blue check mark, by the way, because he built the app. Anyway, not sure he can wrap his head around the fact. It's insane. I can't make sense of it. It says the team has been busting their ass, but we know that this is a race to the starting line. They say, make it work, make it great, make it grow. Well, we certainly did things out of order, but I promise we will make things great. So yeah, there's a lot of things people would love to see in the app that aren't there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have hashtags, so search can be difficult. But
yeah,
some people like the fact that people aren't slapping hashtags on everything to try and get their stuff discovered.
Right.
There's no DMs, which is a feedback loop and a way to, you know, privately connect with people if you engage in something or take a topic offline.
Sure. But because it's tied to your Instagram too, there's
DMs on Instagram.
There's DMs there.
Yeah. Follow, like It's interesting because I think what was the other big thing that it's lacking? It's I don't remember what it was, but the format, as much as it feels like a Twitter clone, I feel like early Twitter, we didn't know how we were going to engage in that platform, and like micro blogging, it felt much more like micro blogging, where it's like, I'm going to just capture what's going on with my life in 140 characters. I'm going to spit this information out there, and maybe people will reply. Maybe like for early on, there wasn't really a mechanism to reply and have a conversation. But over the years, like the threads have really developed in Twitter to where you post something out there and that kind of creates a conversation with that tweet as the head of it. And I feel like the idea of threads really takes that idea and emphasizes the fact that it's about the conversation.
And
so I see a lot of people trying to generate interest in their threads by asking questions, trying to start some sort of discourse.
Yeah.
You know, some of those are working really well. None of mine are. Nobody responds to me.
Well, you mentioned before about no hashtags and stuff like that. That it seems a goal for any content creator, influencer, to go onto the new system, see how the algorithm is, how it reacts, how you get more views, and then manipulate that as much as you can early on to get those views, right? YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all of those, right? There's strategies for each one of them.
Slap the popular hashtag on your post.
Shorts.
And it'll help people find it.
YouTube Shorts. Yeah. And so people haven't gotten there yet. They don't know what that algorithm is yet for threads. And so like me scrolling through, I'm like, I don't know when I've ever interacted with this person in my life. You know, stuff like that. But oh, cool. Like they posted something else. Two things. One, I did find Jiggy Cruz, who I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, you did see that.
Yeah.
So for our fans of Interdimensional RSS, I won the first golden Rickhead for the Rick and Morty Wormageddon last year. Over in the Philippines, another Cruz won a golden Rickhead. Well, Jiggy Cruz is going to be at Comic-Con. So on Threads, talking about interaction, I saw him post something. I was like, oh, shoot, you're going to be there too? Two golden Rickhead winners going to be there at the same time? He's like, it's happening. Woo. So
exciting.
So I might take the golden Rickhead down there.
You will get that thing stolen.
Maybe I'll just like put it on my shoulder. He's like,
side note, every time I mention to someone that I'm going to San Diego Comic-Con, they're like, oh, what are you dressing up as? I'm like
a podcaster,
a fledgling podcaster, I guess. That's Bruce, anyway. What are you dressing up as? I don't know. A credible reporter.
a professional. That's what I'm dressing up as.
Anyway, this has been a conversation to try and encourage you to follow us over on Threads. I'm at Jugglemino. He's at Barnyard Cruise.
Greg, our friend in the chat, the Twitch chat, Five Long Years, aka Greg, has asked Travis, and I think I know the answer to this because it goes into a different conversation. Do you have to be on Instagram to use it?
I'm gonna Google that.
You're looking
you,
at Greg. The reason I'm like, I think I know the answer is because this is part of the Fediverse.
Fediverse.
FEDA, like the Federation, like the internet. So the idea of the Fediverse is that
federated internet.
All of your social media accounts are basically like they're tied to each other. So you're not like in different instances or different all these crazy different environments. It's like saying like, hey, one stop shop ish, right?
Yes and no.
Well, explain it to me.
To
Let's talk about
your question directly, Yes, you do need to have an Instagram account. Fuck. Because right now only Instagram users can create Threads accounts.
Fuck.
So sorry.
Sorry, Greg. Your OnlyFans doesn't work for Threads.
But and as soon as you sign up, it does say that it's embracing the Fediverse. However, none of that has actually been implemented in this version of Threads. But yeah, this is getting toward that idea that big companies like Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram and Threads, are not going to be the keepers of all of your content, all of your data, right? And that if you want to, you can take your posts, your things, and you can channel that across different platforms, and then people can choose to ingest your content the way they see fit. The way that this makes sense the best to me is the way that we make our podcast, right? RSS feeds, wherever you're listening to this podcast, if you're downloading it as an audio podcast, you are listening to a WordPress website blog post that has audio files attached to it. And the reality is we don't post to Apple Podcasts. We don't post to Spotify. We don't post to Stitcher or whatever podcatcher you use. We create a post on our website that we own. We host our audio with a company that we pay, and then we push that out, and then you choose how you want to ingest it, how you want to get our content, whether that's you like Apple Podcasts because you like their interface, or you prefer Spotify because of, you know, what you have there. Whatever it is, how we push it out doesn't matter. And I think that's really the idea of this next move in the internet is you'll be able to do that with whatever social content you want, whether that's photos, whether that's posts. You'll be able to put that stuff out there using an application that you like, but your content will be decoupled from the platforms themselves. So that if a platform goes down, or maybe I really like using a version of Twitter, but you really like using a version of Facebook, I can post one time whatever I'm thinking, whatever content I create, and it will then go out and be distributed across all of those platforms so that people can view it the way that they want to view it.
Yeah.
It's the way they would build the internet today if they were starting over for the first time.
It's a nice thought. The problem is it gets to a point eventually where it's the age old Microsoft Apple Linux the discussion, right? Where they start to be compatible, but you still have Windows machines. You still have Apple doing its things. And then you have your open source Linux and Red Hat and all that good stuff. And so, although like going way back, IBM, very, very proprietary, there have been some, you know, connective tissues there. But it's like when you start combining a bunch of different social media networks, it's a similar thing. Like, why is Elon going to want to be like...
I think the idea is that you're combining them. I think that it's you're separating the content from the platform,
but the restrictions on how you present that content is up to the platform itself. So if you have a Facebook post that is
okay in terms of being able to restrict content or moderate content, this opens up the opportunity to completely have that handled by a third party, because you're decoupling content from the platform.
Yeah.
You can also decouple moderation, and now you can only accept content that's been moderated through another party.
Here's,
or you can say we are not going to require any content moderation on this platform.
here's the thing, because you can look at what's happening on Reddit and you can look at the exorbitant costs that they're asking third party companies to charging them with for their APIs, their API calls, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so the dream is that you have a centralized platform wherein you could go in and find content from whatever platform. However, these companies still want to make a profit and they still have their own individual ideas of what third-party developers and API users can actually do with shit. So it's a nice dream, but there's going to be battles. You know, we thought it was going to be McDonald's versus Taco Bell.
It's a capitalist society. Yeah. Still, like, no argument from you.
It's why Sony and Microsoft is like, Sony just like they pay so much money for exclusives. We're just gonna buy developers instead, and then they can buy the games from us. And then Sony's like, wait, we can't undercut you by buying exclusives all the time. No, we're gonna stop you from acquiring Activision Blizzard. Because it's a monopoly all of a sudden. But they're doing the same monopoly shit. They're just doing it in a different way, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Capitalism is annoying.
It is. It's possible that it's not going to work. I'm hopeful for the versions of the future that I've heard explained. Because I do think it gives users more choice and it puts ownership of content back in the creator's hands instead of in giant corporations' hands. If you have built a reputation as a content creator on Twitter and then some billionaire buys Twitter and runs it into the ground and your content goes away, like, that's, you don't have control over that. And
yeah,
there are people that are actively working, and yes, they're working against the established system, so it's not going to be easy. But there are people that are actively working to decouple those things so that, yeah, it's better for creators, it's better for individuals, and it's more tailored for consumers to have an experience the way they want to have it and not the way a billionaire in Silicon Valley decides they want to have it. So
yeah,
I don't know. There's the advertising piece and there's the monetization piece and there's the, how do people get filthy rich off of it? So far that's what's won.
Here's what I think. I think in order, like, cause on Twitter, it was all about Elon wrestling Zuckerberg for a while. Right. But you know what I think needs to happen is it can't come from a big company that's like, hey, I think we want to have a combined ecosystem that we live together in harmony, because you've already been in competition with each other for so long. And so that's like where, to me, like, smaller companies that, like, identify.
Are you operating under the assumption that, like, the Fediverse is, like, being built by Meta? Because that's not
okay. Well,
not what's happening.
Fill us in then, because that's what it seemed like. Because no other place is like advertising like, yeah, we're going to be part of the Fediverse.
Well,
Fediverse,
no, like,
too.
Have you heard of like Mastodon, which was a direct Twitter competitor?
Yeah, yeah, heavy metal, become, man.
It's become more gaining popularity since Elon bought Twitter.
And Blue Sky. You're talking about Blue Sky as well.
Blue Sky. That's more of a AI thing, right? But
is it?
ActivityPub is sort of the platform that these programs have worked on, and I think ActivityPub is sort of like that RSS, right? So RSS, nobody owns RSS, right?
Blue Sky is a new one, just FYI. It's like,
okay, all right.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not up to speed with them. But so I think ActivityPub is, we're getting real nerdy on AE. If you're still hanging on, you're the diehard. I love you. Thank you for being here. And also check out the Verge cast, because half of the stuff I know is from that. Anyway, ActivityPub, I think, is more of like the platform. It is an open, decentralized social networking protocol based on Pump.io's ActivityPub protocol. So it's like RSS, right? It's a protocol. Like, nobody owns RSS. Like, it is an internet protocol.
No, we own international RSS. Yeah. It's ours.
So ActivityPub is an internet protocol that is designed to basically do that decoupling of your social media content, to then make it readily available, so that if you're whatever application you're using to post content, you use the one that you like, it then creates your little RSS of social media content and then distributes it out, and then different social media platforms can then bring that in and display it to their users in whatever format is common for their system. So yeah. So just like how we push our podcast episode out and then Apple shows it one way and Spotify shows it slightly different, it's the same content, but they may choose to list different metadata. They may choose to show our podcast photo when you're playing the episode versus the episode photo, right? Like,
yeah,
there's different ways that they're going to display that data, but it's the same content being pushed out against different platforms.
Okay. Well, it makes sense now. I think when we were talking about Mastodon before, like this idea of a similar kind of RSS type technology, it didn't click the same way. Yeah. But now they're like, okay, Blue Sky, Mastodon, Threads, okay, it's making more sense to me in that way, because I thought it was just like how Buffer's like, I'm gonna post to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's really just like APIs going to each of those individual services versus a centralized, like, this is the pipeline that all of this stuff goes through. What was it gonna say? Yeah. So I think, and even for like some folks listening, they're like, RSS feed, I don't know what that means necessarily, but it's just like, it's just like a different, like different types of image files, right? Like you have an image file, but you also have PNG, you have JPEG, you have GIF, whatever you want to say, JPEG, BMP. Like, these are just different types of things that you can transfer. I don't know what I'm getting into. Whatever. I like pictures.
Yeah. If you want to read more about it, check out wikipedia.org/wiki/activitypub. I think Matt just missed the best episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm that's ever been produced because he's showing up late. Yeah. But good news is Matt's going to be around for
the
Twitch only post show, where we will circle back on all of these. We didn't even talk about the TV show that I binged this week. So, we'll save that for later. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thank you for watching. Thanks for supporting our show. If you're a patron over on Patreon, you are helping make this show, all of our podcasts, and even our trip to Comic-Con possible. So thank you for continuing to support. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, so you can catch all of our content that's coming up over the next couple of weeks. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. And thanks to Robbie also, who's in the chat. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to do rounding the bases now. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Post show time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan
planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.